So the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things? They asked. And who gave you this authority? Jesus replied, I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism. Where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men? They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we're afraid of the people, for they hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Then he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered, but later changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir, but he did not go. Which of these two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
This is such an easy thing for me to appreciate, having sons, having been a son, having had a brother. We did home church this morning, and Dow and Whit were active as they normally are in a church service. And I said, so if I say to Dow, go make up your bed, and he grumbles about it, but later goes and does it. But I say to Whit, go make up your bed. And Whit says, oh, sure, Dad, glad to do it, but doesn't do it. Which one did my will? Which one did what I asked? Dow, of course, everyone answered. It's that simple. This is not a hard image to grasp. What is it that Jesus is trying to teach us? I think what he's trying to say to us, first and foremost, is that God doesn't want lip service. Y'all remember that saying? I bet my younger people probably haven't ever heard it. We used to say it a lot when we were growing up. Oddly enough, while we were doing home church this morning, someone was, what do you call that? How did he come in? Like video chat or what do you call it?
They have a video camera set up.
They have a camera, so he's watching us on his phone at the Ravens game. We couldn't see him, but he could see us. And so I was talking about this whole idea of paying lip service, and he goes, hypocrite. And I went, exactly, that's what lip service is, saying one thing, doing another, or saying, I'll do this. And I think that Jesus was among people who so often did the right thing religiously, right? They went to the services, they said their prayers, they tithed reluctantly, but I mean, they did the things that they were supposed to do, and they thought that put them in good standing with God. But he points out to them that, as the scriptures say elsewhere, you praise me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. They didn't really love God. They didn't really have a relationship with him. They weren't interested in being obedient. They followed some rules that put them in good standing with people at large. And so he's speaking to them. God doesn't want lip service. He doesn't need lip service, does he? What he really wants is obedience. He wants us to do the things that he asks of us. And that's one of the things that we want to ask ourselves, because we don't want to be people who give lip service. We're not in this for looking good in the community. No one's going to notice us walking out of here tonight at 6 and go, hey, they went to church today, and throw some business our way. Or, you know, I mean, we're here because we want to gather as a people and praise God. So we're not here to offer him lip service. So then we go, then what do we want to offer him? We want to offer him ourselves. We want to offer him our obedience, even if we grumble before we do it. And we'll say more about that in a minute. But what he wants is us, and he wants our obedience. It's just not all that difficult to understand. It's difficult to do. It's not difficult to understand. He wants our obedience. And so we have to ask ourselves, what part of ourselves are we withholding from God? And I love that image that of when the empire became a part of the church back in the 4th century in 313, you know, these stories of these soldiers, you know, all of a sudden the church was baptizing barbarians, you know, people that may not have ever heard of Jesus, may not have even been theistic, may not have even believed in God, but they were baptizing them because now Christianity was the religion of the realm because Constantine himself was. And so these soldiers were getting baptized, and they fully understood what baptism meant, as evidenced by the fact that when they went down in the water, they held one thing out, their sword, because that's how they earned their living. And they knew that going under those waters meant you were dying. But they said, we're not willing to put everything to death. That's the means by which we earn our living, and we're not giving that up. That's a complete surrender. Everything goes under the water. Everything dies so that we might be born again. And that's what God wants. And we have to ask ourselves, well, like, how are we doing in that regard? We know we're not here to offer him lip service, but are we actually being obedient to the things that he asks us to do? Is he involved in the decisions that we make? And I'm the first to admit, I go, how many times do I buy something? I'm not very impulsive, but I mean, just ordinary purchases or what I think is ordinary, you know, do I wonder or ask, God, this is a good idea. You know, quicken my spirit if there's something I'm about to buy that I should. If this is a complete waste of money, if my resources might better be used for the advancement of the kingdom. Or other things, and probably more important things. How am I treating my family? How am I treating my neighbor? Am I loving my wife as much as Christ loved the church? Often use that, but am I loving my neighbor as myself? Do I care about the people around me? And I'm in a culture like you are where a lot of us don't even know who our neighbors are. And we struggle. We reach out to our neighbors, and often they don't respond back. We go, wow. What do you do then? Well, keep loving them, of course. But, you know, how are we demonstrating maybe God's heart for them and continued pursuit of them, not to get something out of them, but just to care about them? And so what I'm saying is it's easy to identify in the ways in which we might do things that we're not. And I'm the first to admit it. And I think probably a part of it is coming back to this place that Jesus was in and that we hear Paul talking about in Philippians, that he was a God who didn't grasp the things that belonged to him. Prophet, priest, king, all the things that would have elevated him to a position of honor. And what he did instead was empty himself for the welfare of other people. How do we do that? I was trying to think of an image that where that made so much sense for me. And, you know, when you're in the Anglican church and you tend to accrue titles. And even since I've been in Atlanta, my title got longer for a season there. It was the Reverend Canon Dr. John Richardson. The Reverend Canon Doctor. I've never really cared much for those titles, because they get in the way of a relationship with other people. You know, they create a formality that prevents me from relating to folks. But you know, the truth is, every once in a while, I'd like for somebody to go, Dr. Richardson. I mean, I earned it. That's the part of me. I want to grasp those things. Wait a minute, I have a degree. Can't someone just throw me a nod now and then? Dr. Richardson. When we checked into the hotel where we were staying in Birmingham, it must have clicked something when I registered that said Dr. Doctor, and she called me Dr. Richardson. Sweet, I love that. It's a challenge. But that's what God's asking of us, simple things like that, where we want to let go of those things that, even by the world standards, we're entitled to. Because Jesus was due so much in terms of respect, so much in terms of honor. And yet he was willing, voluntarily, to give all that up in order that you and I have life and have it abundantly. No grace I mean, know those songs where we keep singing of, you know, ransom for sinners, that's me. That he loves me enough to let go of all that he's doing to pay the ransom for me so I don't have to be a sinner. Or maybe I'm a sinner, but I'm still justified because of his merit and his grace and what he's done for me. And so that's where God would have us go, is to search our hearts. We know we're not here for lip service. But where do we need to be more obedient? Where are we holding a sword out of the water and saying, there's some area of my life, God, I'm really just not willing to give you yet. I like that place. Rather than embracing the humility that he gives us and says, no, all of it should go and can go for my glory, my honor. But really even more than that, for the welfare of the world, because his sacrifice, his willingness to pour out, his willingness to be obedient is what redeemed us. And through us, it's what redeems other people when they hear what it is that he has to offer, when they can see it evident in our lives, both the good and the bad, that we're redeemed people. And I want to say just a word about, you know, the one who was obedient did grumble at the outset. God can handle that. God says, go be reconciled to this person. I don't want to be reconciled to this person. I don't have any interest in being reconciled to this person. In fact, I like my grudge. I like holding on to it. Okay. I'll be reconciled to this person. He knows our hearts. He knows where we're struggling to give up those things. And so better to own it and to say it and then go and do as we've been instructed. He can handle that. It's not going to violate our relationship with him. In fact, I think that he expects it because we're human. That's why he came to save us. So if we find ourselves grumbling, don't let that go, oh, well, I grumbled. Don't let that stand in the way. Pick yourself back up and do what he asks. Say, yeah, I'm going. I'm going to do it. So that's where we are. That's the next step. It's Monday. It's Tuesday. It's Wednesday. The next thing that he wants us to ask is, Lord, where is it that I'm holding back? Reveal that to me so that I can put it before you so that even if I grumble about it, I'll go and do as you've asked, just as you did the will of your Father in giving your life for us. And the great news is that he'll get us there. He'll sanctify us. He'll give us that power. To become perfect? No, not in this life. To make huge progress? Maybe not a whole lot. But to take the next step, to give up that next thing that we've been holding out of the water, so that he can have ultimately, when the day has come, all of who we are. Amen.
Amen.